Tonight I want to share with you the best thing that you can do for your pastors. Do you want to take care of your pastors? And I use that phrase plural. We have several, okay? Do you want to take care of your pastors? I believe that. I believe that you do. And I believe every one of them has a special place in your heart. And so tonight we're going to learn how to take care of these guys, okay? How to do good for the guys that are pastoring the church, okay? Myself, all the church staff included there. Would you stand with me as we read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do come to you, Lord, needing your guidance and your instruction tonight as we examine your word. Lord, we know this is your word, that it is without error, and that, Lord, every part of this is food for our spirit. And so, Lord, speak to us through your word that we may know how to take your word and how to apply it to our lives, that we may be made better servants for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, I pray for those in this service tonight who do not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you would convict them of sin, that you would draw them to you, and that you would give them what it takes, Lord, what's needed so that they would come to you for salvation. For only you can deliver a soul. And Lord, we just look to you for all things in this service. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as you might guess, the life of a pastor, the life of a minister is a wonderful life. I heard Michael's amen, but you other guys better get with it, okay? Being a pastor is a wonderful thing. Come on, staff guys. I would not trade. I've had people in my life say, "Well, I just don't know how you do it. I wouldn't be a pastor for anything." Well, I'll tell you, I wouldn't be anything else. All right? Because when God calls you to preach, nothing else satisfies except what God calls you to do. And so as we look at this passage tonight, I want you to know what you can do for me, what you can do for Brother Michael, Brother Kelly, for Brother Ken, and for Brother Dale. I want you to know that here's how you help us, okay? Because honestly, it is from time to time being a pastor, you know, you get discouraged and things aren't going the way you'd like them to go, or you question things you've done or things you have to do yet. And so I believe that the folks at Victory Missionary Baptist Church would do whatever they could possibly do to encourage their pastor. I believe that. Would you? Okay. That's what Paul is writing about here. Has nothing to do with raises and pats on the back. Do you realize? Here, Paul is about to share with you what is the best way that you can encourage your pastors. And we start with the ifs. There in verse 1. If there is any consolation in Christ. If there is any consolation, that word consolation, it means help. If there's any help in Christ, Paul's saying to the church here at Philippi, he's saying, "Listen, do you guys want to help me?" All right? And so I ask you the question tonight. Do you want to help your pastors? Please say amen. All right? Please say amen. Paul said, "Okay, if you want to help, He's saying, if you want to love or to comfort your pastor, that word comfort, it means to encourage and give the pastor a basis for hope. Don't you want your pastor to be fired up? Don't you want Brother Ken Worthen to be fired up? As he ministers from day to day. I mean, you want to see somebody fired up, put some tracks in Brother Ken's hands. I mean, he blesses me. I'll just be honest with you. But if you want to comfort him or encourage or give him incentive, Paul's about to tell you how. If there is any fellowship of the Spirit, Paul said, that word fellowship is literally partnership. He's saying, do you want a partner with me, is what Paul is saying to the church of Philippi. Do you want to be my partner in ministry? When I ask you the same question, do you want to be a partner to the ministries of this church? Amen. Oh, come on. Come on. Paul said, if there's any affection and mercy. That word affection is talking about inner feelings, the innermost feelings. We would call it that you love your pastors and you have a heart for your pastors. And Paul's saying, listen, if you love me, if you have a heart for what I'm doing, I'm fixing to tell you what you need to do. Okay? In verse 2, he says, fulfill my joy. Encourage me. Do this, Paul's saying, do this for me. You want me to be well and to be fired up, Paul's saying, he said, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Think the same thing. All right? That's the challenge that we have tonight, that everybody here is thinking the same way and thinking the same thing. You bring, Brother Doug, how can we possibly think the same thing? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you asked. Because Paul gives us two things that we need to have in the forefront of our mind. He said, by being like-minded, here's the two things. Having the same love. Wait a minute. Paul's saying, the way I love is going to be an encouragement to me? Absolutely. The idea there, having the same love, that word is agape. It is a God kind of love. And we start, if you want to encourage your pastors, and you do, amen? Put God first. Love God with all your heart. Make Him the centerpiece of your life. There's nothing more encouraging for a youth pastor than to see teenagers who make God first. There's nothing more encouraging for a pastor to watch the membership as they make God first in their life. Amen. You want to fire me up? Let me see you love God. Okay? That's one of the most encouraging things that a pastor can see, because it causes you to back up and say, yes, it is worth it. As you watch that family who at one time was not faithful and God was not the centerpiece, and you see that family move from unfaithfulness over to faithfulness, and you think, yes, it was worth it. I love to see people grow in the Lord, and I know the rest of the staff is the same way. Make God the priority. Love God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. Make sure, and Brother Greg has said this several times. I've heard Brother Greg say one of the greatest ways you can encourage a pastor is to come to church. It is. It's no fun preaching to yourself. But I'll tell you what, I love to preach. And I love to preach to God's people. Your presence here on Sunday night, I don't know if you realize it or not, but your presence here fires me up in a good way. All right? Thank you. That's an encouragement to me. That's me seeing people love God and put God first. Yes, even on Sunday nights. And the rest of the church staff is the same way. We have the same desires as a church staff, and that is to raise up a people who love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. That's our goal. That's our desire. He said, having the same love, a God type love, and being of one accord. He started here with loving God, and then he goes on to loving God's people. Being of one accord. Loving one another in spite of faults. Now, there's very few here, but some of you have some faults. Okay? I know, it's hard to believe. But see, we got to make a decision what we're going to do with those who have faults. Let's be serious. If you have faults, raise your hand. See, you've got to decide what you're going to do. Some of you had to think about it, didn't you? You've got to decide what you're going to do with the faults of others. Let's face it. Some of us talk when we should be quiet. Some of us are quiet when we should talk. Some of us are not as faithful as we should be. Some of us will say things we shouldn't say. So what are we going to do with it? We're going to decide right here from the very beginning how we're going to handle it. Okay? We're going to love people anyway. Amen. You want to encourage your pastors. There are few things more encouraging for a pastor than to minister in an atmosphere of love as opposed to an atmosphere of conflict. I'll be honest with you, and I say this with a loving heart, but I've pastored for almost 30 years now, and I've come to the conclusion there are some members you're better off without. Those members who thrive on conflict do not help the church. Okay? Those members that will stir up and who are quick to point out everybody else's faults. The idea is being of one accord, that we love one another in spite of the faults that we have. You want to encourage your pastor, and your pastors love people anyway. Learn how to love them anyway. Even when they'll look at you and say, I don't like you, you look back at them and say, well, that's okay. I'll love you enough for the both of us, right? Okay? There's nothing more encouraging than that as a pastor. Whether you're a youth pastor or a college minister, there's nothing that gives you a fire and wants to and makes you want to do more than people who are wanting to follow God in their lives, and that showing in their lives. Verse 3. Here's how you accomplish that. How do you love God and how do you love people? Here it is, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. You know what? That selfish rivalry. I want it my way, and I'll do whatever I have to do to have it my way kind of mentality. Do you realize most problems in churches and most conflicts don't amount to anything? I have come to the conclusion that in a church that is having conflict, if the conflict will not matter under the grand scheme of the kingdom of God, it does not matter. I don't care what color carpets are and what kind of pews they have as opposed to pews or theater seats. I don't care what order the service is and if we play old-fashioned songs or contemporary. All that doesn't matter, you know? What does matter is that I put you first. That I consider your needs more important than my own needs. Listen, if you've ever been in a church conflict, you know how it goes, right? I was a young pastor at this time, when I was still an air traffic controller, a young preacher at this time, and they would send me over to Oklahoma City to train me every once in a while, you know? And so I thought, I was over there for a couple of weeks one time. It's Wednesday night. I thought, hey, I'm going to find a good ABA church to go to. And I did. And I walked in there, and I should have known something was up when the pastor said, well, you might want to leave. It's business meeting night. That was a red flag. I just was too young to know it. But I was there on that Wednesday night and I watched a church get into a knockdown dragout because, and I'm not kidding, somebody had moved a potted plant and it had not been voted on in business meeting. I left that church and never went back, and I felt so sorry for that poor pastor. What was happening there, people weren't accounting others before themselves. Everybody there was, I want and I think, and oh listen, you want to tear a pastor down. That's how you do it. I'll be honest with you. It's not so much, you know, a pastor has to expect certain things. It's not the attacks. It's not somebody said this about a pastor or said that. That's not it. But when a pastor thinks his church isn't doing well, that will break a pastor's spirit. Paul knew that. That's why he's writing this. I mean, Paul, he was a missionary and he's saying, here's what I need from you. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, and never do anything through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness. You know what that word lowliness is? It's humility. Humility. But in humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That means that I'm going to put your interest first. And you put their interest first. And y'all put their interest first. And y'all put their interest first. You want to encourage the pastors? That's how you do it. Okay? There's nothing more for a pastor. What you need to know is when the church does well, the pastors do well. Yeah? That's the long and short of it. You can put up with a lot and you can deal with a lot if the church is doing well. Yeah. But if the church doesn't do well, that's where it gets rocky as a pastor, no matter what section of the church you're ministering in. Oh, listen, I know tonight I'm kind of preaching to the choir, and I preach this because it was next in line to preach, right? But I want you to know that as a pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, this October I will have been here 9 years. And I'm just as encouraged today as I was the first day I came into Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I am. I'm still as excited as I was 9 years ago. I'm still looking forward to the future as much as I did 9 years ago. And that's because I truly believe that God's people, and I'll commend you, I believe that God's people really love God first and foremost. Now, are we perfect? No. Sometimes do we get a little lax? Yes. Okay. But this is a reminder tonight. Hey, let's not get lax. Let's make God the centerpiece of our desire in Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I honestly also believe that Victory Missionary Baptist Church, we love one another. Okay. I truly believe that. Now, sometimes we may not show it. Sometimes we may say things that we shouldn't say. But I truly believe that the majority of this membership has a heart for one another and for every member of this church. And for that, I do thank you and I do encourage you, because that encourages the church staff and the church pastors. Keep on loving God first and foremost, and keep on loving people. Because as I've said many times, when people come through that doors, they will not be here just a couple of minutes before they know whether or not we love God and whether or not we love people. Okay? You can't hide those two things. God bless you. I appreciate you so much for your faithfulness to the Lord. Let me encourage you, keep it up. Okay? And if you're here tonight and you've let some of those things slip, okay, let's get back on track. Let's start loving God. Let's be an encouragement to others, not just by what we say, but by what we do. Okay? You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me encourage you to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Tonight, you don't have to go out here, out of this building lost and bound for hell. You can leave here saved, a child of the King, knowing that your eternal home is in heaven with Him. How do you do that? Well, number one, you have to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave His life upon the cross of Calvary for your sin. Number two, you have to call upon Him for salvation. That if you'll call out to Him, asking Him to save you, knowing and acknowledging Him as the Son of God who was crucified for your sins, who rose from the grave, and today is seated at the right hand of the Father, you know all that. You call out to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? If not, this invitation's for you. Maybe you're here, the Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory. I would invite you to come. Whatever your spiritual need is, we're coming to the point of the invitation where it's time to respond. Don't do something because the preacher said to. Don't do something because somebody else is expecting you to. You do something because God leads you to do. And you respond to the invitation in that manner. And I promise you, you will be right when you leave here. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. And Lord, just this encouragement and reminder. Oh Lord, I praise You for what You have done at Victory and what You're doing at Victory. I pray, Lord, that You will continue to bless us in the future. Help us to keep the main thing the main thing. That is to love You with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us, Lord, to love in a manner that will be an encouragement not only to the pastors of this church, but to the membership. Lord, we pray that we'll see You move in a mighty, mighty way in the days that lie ahead and even in this invitation here tonight. We know, Lord, that You are the answer to every woe of our society. And so, Lord, we look to You for guidance. We look to You for conviction of sin. And we look to You, Lord, as we turn from our sin and turn to You. And pray that You would answer every spiritual need present. In Jesus' name I pray.